Yes, I staggered a little bit. If I fall, somebody would come pick me up, so. Good morning, children of God. Good to see you here this morning, and I want to talk to you about sowing the seed of the kingdom of God. It's a time to sow. I'm working with this microphone. If it goes berserk, we'll turn it off. I have one of my own. But what I'd like for you this morning to realize is that parables are a key to Jesus' teaching. The parable I want to use this morning, and I will refer to Luke chapter 8 if you want in your Bible to go there with me when I'll do some reading here in just a little bit. But I've written myself a few notes so that I might not go beyond where I want to go. Back, I guess I might as well say it, in the olden days, when I used to preach from 43 to 45 minutes on a regular basis, I still could not cover the parable of the sower in one sermon. So the things that I do not get to today in talking to you about this wonderful parable, this guide of Jesus, you can fill in on your own. Yes, someone said to me, well, I guess you went to school to learn how to preach. No, I did not. But I went to Jesus. And I am suggesting to you that this parable of the sower and the seeds is the key not only to understanding, but to presenting the message of Christ. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus talks about a sower going out to sow. And that, of course, is the beginning of a parable. In verse 1 of chapter 8, and it came about as soon afterwards that he began going about from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Now Jesus presents this parable. We'll start in verse 4 there in a minute. But the Bible tells us that Jesus spoke to them about the sower. I realize in your Bible it may say a sower, but Jesus is the sower. Jesus brings us the word to present to God. Somebody is calling somebody important. We'll get that taken care of in a minute. If it's the president, tell him I'm busy. I can't get to him right now. I'd like to define a parable. There is a simple definition of a parable. The best I have ever heard is that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And I'm sure if you've been a Christian very long, that you've heard that. And it's about as good as you can get. The songs that our song leader led this morning are great. If you happen to be someone visiting with us today, you are surely welcome. We'd like to get to say hi to you. I need to do that because a lot of times I forget that. You got to remember, I've been around a long time, and so I have to write notes if I want to remember these things. You know, it's a time to plant. I've got plants, I've got seeds, they're all sitting there, and those who've been around a long time like I have said, wait, don't do it yet. You need to have the right time, the right soil, the right temperature, and I'm thinking tomorrow is time to begin putting all of those plants in the ground. We'll see. If they're so in the ground, I won't do it. But in Missouri, that can happen. There is a time to plant. Now, as Jesus begins talking about this parable, I want to read some of it, and then I'm going to cover what we have time to cover, and then maybe three or four more times I'll finally get through all of it. But someone said to a preacher who was long-winded all the time, they left him a note as they went out and said, "Brother," and put his name on it, "in order for a sermon to be immortal, it does not have to be eternal." And so I'm aware of that. What I give you is what I have designed to give you today. Now in verse 4, "And a great multitude were coming together, and those from various cities were journeying to him. He spoke by way of a parable. The sower, went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Another seed fell on rocky soil, and soon it grew up. It withered away because it had no root or moisture. Another seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Another seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Now, I am so glad that that's not the end of that story, because as I see how Jesus explains that parable, it shows me the pattern of Jesus' teaching. And so I can use the same method that Jesus used in teaching other people. It is important that we tell people what to do. My beloved friend Charlie Hodge has said for many years, "Tell people what God did before you tell them what to do." And so it's important for us to know what to tell people. We're going to get to a few of these things that Jesus talked about. Now Jesus explains this parable. Now the parable is this. Here's the key. The seed is the Word of God. You know, if you've ever planted seeds, you know that there's a certain amount of faith involved. And sometimes you have to watch and make sure the birds don't come along and literally dig them up. And we have a couple of dogs who have just put a guard around. Landon just installed a wire perimeter around the garden because the garden was beautifully plowed and ready to plant, and the dogs thought it was the greatest thing in the world to play in. But they've got a surprise coming. The first time they try to cross the boundary, you'll hear them yelp and they won't go in anymore. So we're glad to have that. But But Jesus talks about the reality of us sowing seeds. And he said the seed is the Word of God. The only seed that will produce Christians is the Word of God. And if you change it, it won't work. It's so important. If you just plant gourd seeds, you won't have a very good dinner. So, it's very important. He said these beside the road are those who heard, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. Now, I know as I go through this parable, you're going to identify with some of these things. One of the most heartrending things that ever happens is when we try to teach someone about Christ and it doesn't work. And it's not because the seed's no good. It's not because we haven't sown the seed. But there is another element that cannot be fully addressed in this sermon today about that. It's important for us to realize that as we sow the seed, sometimes the seed doesn't fall in the best places. Now there's another portion to this sermon that I don't have time to talk about that you're already thinking about. Why would you waste the seed and throw it beside the road? Did you hear what our brother read that Jesus said? Go everywhere and tell everybody. Don't miss anyone. And that's the shortest version of why Jesus is using the parable like this. He says, and those on the rocky soil, those who were, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. You may be even thinking of someone, you know, oh man, they're alive, they're ready to go, they're going to set the world on fire. I heard a young man, it's not my notes, and that's a problem. Heard a young man in 1958 at Abilene Christian College. And he had been in an African country. And he so boldly said, it won't be but just a few years until they'll be sending missionaries to the United States. Well, that was a wonderful thought. Didn't happen. But it was an ambitious thing. The Word is the gospel of Christ, and it is the power unto salvation. He says, and the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and they go their way and are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. And again, you probably know the name of a person that fits that description. And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. In this last year, Shirley and I have lost. By the way, I'm glad Shirley's back. I missed her. I think she's finally got the house rearranged after getting back. So laid down the rules. They'll be like they always were. They'll just lie there. But I'm glad she's back. So if I look funny, somebody thought while she was gone when I had run into the garage door that she'd hit me. But she was gone, so it's just about healed up. But it's so important for us to be able to hear the Word of God, to have the Word of God in a good heart, and to realize the fruits that come from people continuing to preach and proclaim the Word of God. And believe me, in my little computer head, there are so many verses I'd like to quote to you right now about that. But I'm thankful as I look out at you that most of you know those. You know what God said. And you know how it works. Now I want to tell you a story here in about the next 3 minutes. When we lived in Idaho, we had been in Gooding for about 3 years. Our work was not going well. I mean, we did not have very many people. Because we started from nothing, from no one. And a friend, a good man, had a good heart. He had heard about this man in California that had never, ever taught anybody that he didn't baptize and that became a faithful member of God's family. So he invited this man to come. And when the man came and he began to preach, and he preached the same way, and he said definitively that he had never had a prospect that he did not baptize, not a single one. Now, he came over to encourage Shirley and I, and you can imagine how encouraging that was for him to say, man, if I'd been here, everybody you've tried to teach, I'd have baptized. I tried to hold my tongue, but I said to him, then you are better than Jesus. He said, oh? And I said, yes. Don't you remember, especially in Mark 10, that a rich young man came to Jesus? And he said, what do I need to do? Jesus said to him, keep all the commandments. He said, I've done that. What do I lack? Jesus said to him, sell what you have and give to the poor and come follow me. Now, I particularly have looked at Mark, and I'd love to read it, but I don't have time. Somebody has a control to run in the clock up. I know that's true, and we will search out and find who it is. I wanted to take your mind off the clock. But anyway, this young man who was rich and powerful, young, rich, powerful, but he knew he did not have everything he needed. He said to Jesus, what do I lack yet? Jesus said, go sell what you have and give to the poor and come follow me. And Mark is the one who tells us Jesus, looking at him, loved him. I think there's a reason that's there. But the Bible says that he went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. And it was after that that Jesus made a statement that I spent nearly 5 minutes one time when I was 20 years old trying to explain about a camel going through the eye of a needle and a rich man getting into heaven. I finally gave up on trying to read that, but everybody knew what I was talking about. But that's what Jesus said. It's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. The disciples said, well, then it's impossible. He said, no, nothing is impossible with God. But the point I want you to see is that Jesus loved this young man. Jesus is God. He knows what's in this person's mind. Wasn't there something that Jesus could say that would bring him around? Well, if this preacher had been there, naturally he would have been able to do it. I don't know that he remembered what I said, but I just told him. Then you were better than Jesus. Jesus did not convert everybody that he talked to. He still died to save every person in the world from our sins. So the Word of God. Get Christians. I've got to tell you this little one. Now, Jesus told stories. I want to remind you that this parable is a story that Jesus told. That's where I learned to tell stories. Not as well as Jesus. But there are things like I'm walking through the woods where my dad's looking for ginseng and star root. I know that. You know that's what that is. And he found this plant growing, and he said, son, that's an Indian turnip. And he pulled it up, and he said, take a bite. I already knew my father was not always to be trusted when he tried to get me to do things. And if you don't know what an Indian turnip is, if you took one bite, you would remember it forever, because it would set your mouth afire. So, you need to know what's there. I tell you what, I'd much rather have a big old purple top turnip that's the size of a baseball. I can even taste it right now. They're good and they're sweet. But I've got to sow some seeds if I'm going to get some turnips. We have someone coming to work with us to help us to do our best in sowing the seed of the kingdom of God. And if we sow the seed that is the right seed, we will reap Christians. And this church can grow. I wish there were far more people here today than there are. But you're here. And you count. And I want you to know that as you go out into the world and sow the seed of the kingdom of God, that we will have great rejoicing. I still grieve over some people who did to me what this rich young man did to Jesus. But it doesn't stop me from telling everybody and giving them the accurate message. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. And we have that word given to us. And we need to use it. I thank you for listening this morning. And I hope again, if I live to be 100, I can preach another sermon about the sower and the seeds. But it's all in here. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, and it's in Luke. And you can look at it and understand what the Lord is telling us in this wonderful parable. Should there be any reason that you need assistance in doing something that you haven't done, we're here. The elders are available, and I am sure by now that you know that every Sunday evening and every Wednesday evening, we make ourselves available whether there's anybody wanting to see us or not. Please pray for us, and please let us know if we can shepherd your life. May God bless you. If you need to respond, please do so as we stand and sing our song.